Hey, this is Father Voskin, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a podcast that does take the next step, the 208th edition of The Next Step. Wow, a long time. What we do is we take the next step in Armenian Orthodoxy, but we take it today. So we call that Armadoxy, and we invite you to kick back right now and take that step with us. This podcast is being brought to you by the cool folks at epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. If you're ready, let's take the next step. Take those next steps. Been thinking a lot about the name lately. Next Step. What is that all about? Well, you know, when we started 4 years ago, wow, quite a long way. 4 years, a lot of things happened. You know, we had a different president when we started here in the United States. I don't know where you're at, where you're listening, but I don't know how quickly your regimes change. I know some of them last for a long time. But 4 years. Quite a bit of time, and we've been going, and we're going to be finishing up our fourth year of broadcasting and beginning our fifth year in just a couple weeks. So it's given me a time to reflect, to think about what we're doing, and just, well, let me just start off by first thanking you, the listener. I mean, without the listener, would we have a podcast? Would we have anything? It'd just be like something out there. But this week in particular, I just appreciated so much the feedback we got to last week, the last few weeks of podcasting, and just in general, that we're out there, that we're doing something different, that yes, this ancient faith is coming alive, and we're adding our small little voice to it, and it's reverberating here and there. You know, it bounces off a wall over there, it hits somebody else, and I guess that's just the nature of the beast. But I want to thank you all for the emails, for the conversations. I don't know what it was this week. I ran into too many people. Is that okay to say? No, I can't. I could never have too many people saying it, but I ran into a lot of people who've been coming up and saying, hey, thanks a lot for having this broadcast around. So thank you very much for listening. Thank you for being there. And in a few weeks, we're going to be starting off our fifth year, and it's giving me a chance to really think about what we're doing over here. What does that mean, the next step? Well, you know, if you've listened to The Next Step, you know we do a lot of self-evaluation as far as a church. What does it mean to be a church? Is it enough to just say, you know, hang up the shingle and say that we're Armenian Apostolic and hooray, we've been there for 2,000 years? Or is there something to be said about the church living today? And certainly last night, if you caught the questions and faith discussion that we had, we were continuing that discussion we had last week here on The Next Step about same-sex marriages, about the changing tide in sexual relations, carnal relations. And we actually studied the story of Sodom and Gomorrah last night. And it was very, very interesting because, you know, in the group that we had at the Questions of Faith, it was very obvious that, you know, everybody who had heard that story or had made the connection had only heard the one side and never taken it to the extent, well, sure enough, there's Ezekiel. Now, let me back up, okay? I know I'm talking I'm talking with a lot of things. Okay, so we've been talking about same-sex marriages, especially because President Obama recently had made that proclamation that he had evolved in his thinking, and so he said that it's okay to have same-sex marriages. And definitely, it's got to be clear that marriage is something that is sanctioned by the state. If you've watched enough movies, you've seen those ministers. If you've gotten married enough times, can I say that? You probably ran into a minister who says, and therefore, by the authority vested in me, by the state of, or by the commonwealth, or by the laws of this state, whatever it is a state that gives that recognition to the marriage. Now, quite different from, say, the holy matrimony, which is a sacrament of the Armenian Church. And that sacrament has its own structure. It is an umbrella under which the family gathers and the family develops. Quite different from what the state recognizes. And the state can recognize all at once. Doesn't necessarily mean that the church has to recognize it, and vice versa. Interesting questions came up last night. at our discussion, okay? So now we have this opportunity to have children without the need of consenting adults. In other words, without the sexual act. There's artificial insemination. And I shared this with you a few years ago when at my church we had a young lady who came up and said, I want to baptize my son. And when we took down the information, we asked for the name of the father, and she said, there isn't one. And I'm familiar with this answer only because sometimes divorces are so ugly. This is true. Divorces are so ugly that when they come in for baptism, they don't want to have the father or the mother, maybe in the case of a mother, but I've only ran across the case of a father. They don't want to have the father's name even on the baptism certificate. So they'll say there is no father, or, you know, I don't want remembered. So I asked the lady, I said, that's fine. We don't need to identify it on a permanent record or on a certificate, but I do need to know who the father is. And she goes, no, you don't understand. There is no father. This child is from artificial insemination, from a sperm bank. And it's interesting because now follow that through with what we were talking about last week. It's sort of the following question, okay? We talk about marriage being between a man and a woman. What happens to the children of same-sex couples? Can they get baptized? How about the children of artificially inseminated women? Can they be baptized when we don't know who the father is? Well, the answer is of course. The answer is of course, overwhelmingly, because as an Armenian Orthodox Church, as the Armodoxy that we've been talking about, it's all inclusive. It includes all the children of God, and it has to, because if you're a continuation of Christ, in other words, you are the Christian church, the body of Jesus Christ. It's a very simple equation. Would Jesus reject anybody? Obviously not. He doesn't reject anybody. And as that very brave Archbishop a few weeks ago on our Compass program said, he said, the church cannot. It is a sin for the church to reject anybody. And as a church that is filled with love, that is filled with the love of Christ, it is important to accept people. It is important, not only important, it's essential. It's essential. It's part of the equation. It's part of the definition to accept everyone. And then within that structure, under that umbrella of acceptance, is to discuss, is to have a healthy dialogue and talk about some of these issues, which we've been doing here on The Next Step, on our Questions in Faith. And so I don't want to reiterate, but if you haven't had a chance to plug into some of the latest episodes of The Next Step, Compass, of Questions in Faith, please do check them out on our website, and they're all there. Very interesting, and I want to thank everybody for the wonderful responses that we've been getting to this line of programming. In fact, we had someone who just recently said, you know, no, she was blown out. She had come actually thinking that she was ready for a fight. She was looking for something to argue with, and she says, I did not know that the Armenian Church, that Armenian Orthodoxy, believed this way. And she said, I wish that I could have brought some of my friends. And hey, what do you know? It's all on the website, Epostle. That's apostle with an E. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Electronic and Expanding Universe. So check out epostle.net. You'll find all the podcasts. You'll find all of our programming. It's up there. And listen, you know, before I go on, we have the whole crew over here. And of course, we've got Ani coming up in a few minutes with the bubbles. But hey, would you like to be with Apostle? That's going to come up too in a few minutes. I'm going to tell you, you can, you can be a guest on the show, on The Next Step, or on Compass with Linda Zadoyan, and have dinner with all of us. Wow! Can you imagine? I mean, we would even, even for you, we will use napkins, and we will use all the proper utensils. It'll be a really nice dinner. Anyway, that's coming up. We're having a silent auction to help this ministry on June 10th. Mark it on your calendars. If you happen to be in the Los Angeles area, do stop by and just check it out. A wonderful event, wonderful afternoon to be with us and everybody at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. We're going to be holding it in Pasadena. And, mark it down, June 10th, and I'll tell you more about it in a few minutes, and especially about one of the auction items, which is having dinner with us and being a guest here on The Next Step. Well, let's see. Coming up on today's show, we're going to be talking. We're going to be reflecting a little bit about many of the items that we've talked about over the past year. You know, I do this towards the end of each year. Is it called the fiscal year? Each year that we finish Next Step, kind of have an opportunity to reflect and maybe pick up some of the topics that we've left in limbo. And rather than wait till the last episode of that year, I thought we'd start off today, kind of think about some of the things that we left behind and some of the things that are coming up. So I want to share with you some personal thoughts along the way in preparing Next Step. But we do start every show with a song of the day. And how about this one today? It is off of an album called Illuminations, and our dear friend Gregory Bailarian, and you've heard him here on this podcast, you've seen a lot of his work. He's done some incredible photography work with our 777 campaign, our forgiveness campaign. He's been there. In fact, if you download the podcast from the website, that picture of me sitting there in the church, that is a Gregory Bailarian original, as well as all kinds of exotic artwork. Anyway, lately, a few days ago, I had a chance to meet with him and a gentleman who is going to be portraying Gomidas Vartabed. Now, Gomidas Vartabed is a monk of the Armenian Church during the Armenian Genocide. And he survives the genocide, but only to be thrown into an institution, having lost his wits, seeing the destruction of his people. And Gomidas Vartabed is going to be portrayed in a play production here in the Los Angeles area. So the gentleman who is playing Gomidas Vartabed met with me. Gregory introduced him to me so we could kind of go over some of who was Gomidas, who is the Armenian Church, what is the Armenian Church. The gentleman, not being Armenian, wanting to get some background, doing some research as he fits into the role of Gomidas Vartabed. So that was beautiful. And as the time comes up, the production goes on stage at the end of June. I will get all the details and definitely will share it with you on the web as well as through our podcast. But I had a chance to see Gregory, and he gave me this delightful CD, 2003. He had produced with Yerish Manukyan. And Gregory is playing Dom. The Dom is the drone, the one in the background. It's sort of like the sound of the universe in the back. You'll hear it. And what's beautiful about it is Gregory plays Duduk in a circular breathing. It's a very special technique in that he's breathing in while he's breathing out. And yeah, try to do that. Don't do it with milk in your mouth. You'll go crazy. No, but he's doing it while playing the duduk, a drone, just a dom, it's called. And he keeps that one note in the background. You don't hear him breathing because of this technique. While the other duduk player, Yerish, is playing the melody. This is off of that album, Illuminations. I offer it today as today's song of the day. Thank you. As I Am Alive is the name of that song. It comes off of a CD called Illuminations by Irish Manukyan. This is, and that is the wonderful Gregory Baylarian holding Dom in the background. Yes, did you hear that? I told you, you can't hear him breathe. Wonderful circular breathing. Anyway, we will put a link on our show notes so you could check out this CD as well as other performances. And just had to share it with you. You know, when I get some great stuff, I love to share it with you, our listeners.
When the war was over, I went dancing in the street with the corpse of my dead brother to the sacrificial beat. And the Boy Scouts and the Legionnaires came home from overseas singing glory, hallelujah, to the swankest apple beat.
Well, if some of you suffer insomnia, as I do, lately I've been suffering through a lot of it. You have a chance to catch up on some of the movies that you've always wanted to see. You know, well, I do it in a different way. You know, I've shared with you, if you really have insomnia, try reading Leviticus. That'll get you down. But sometimes I find these old movies and I figure that, okay, it'll make my eyes tired. Maybe I could go to sleep. And sure enough, the last few nights when I've been, I've just been struggling, I put on this movie. It's called All the President's Men. All the President's Men with Dustin Hoffman and Robert Redford. The first 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour is really a snoozer. So I've been going to sleep. Anyway, this morning, woke up at 4 in the morning and I said, okay, I'm going to finish this off. You know, you get your mind going on all kinds of things, and I watched it. And it was very, very interesting because it really put me in a different mood to start off today's podcast, too. You know, there was so much protest back in the 60s. And after that protest, in came this idea of Watergate. Now, Watergate's a really important and pivotal point in the life of the United States. In fact, many of the scandals that took place afterwards bear that name Gate. There was Contragate, if you remember Oliver North. There was Iran Gate, and until today they talk about it. Even Obama Gate. Sometimes they attach that name Gate to it because, well, it all started back in the 70s when Watergate came out. And All the President's Men is a movie that I've always wanted to see, had read the book, and certainly lived through that time, and do remember all the events. And it was really a good reminder of what we did go through, of how much we have changed, how much the world has changed in very fundamental ways. You look at a movie like that, first of all, the smoking that takes place, you kind of think of, wow, remember those days when people would just light up anywhere they wanted to? And then you look at what we have here in the United States, definitely here in the Los Angeles area, just smokeless society. And it's kind of funny when you see doctors in these old movies walking into the examination room and then after the exam lighting up a cigarette. It's an interesting phenomena. And that was only like 40 years ago. But some of the bigger things, I'm not talking about those superficial things. I'm talking about how we've changed as society. Think about what took place in the United States back in the 1960s. You had the assassination of a president. You had the assassination of a presidential candidate in Robert Kennedy. You had the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., of Malcolm X. You had these assassinations on large scales. You had uprising. You had distrust for the government. And you had an anti-establishment sentiment. And you had these revolts. You had Woodstock, which was the counterculture coming of age and saying that, okay, here we are, deal with us. I mean, you cannot deal with us. Not only was there a counterculture, but it was a counterculture that was making a statement and politically becoming more active. And then what happens? In the 1970s, you kick off the 1970s, you've still got Vietnam. You've got this awful, terrible war that nobody's understanding. And you're realizing that, hey, wars are being fought, children are dying, kids are dying, and there are politicians to blame. Not governments, not peoples, but there are politicians to blame. And then along with that comes, well, this Watergate. You find Richard Nixon. You find the entire government is being indicted one after the other in a scandal, stealing. And it's not just going into a hotel room, but really there's all kinds of scandals underneath. And then the resignation of a president in 1975. Nixon steps down. Gerald Ford comes in, and he lasts for about a year. And then there's new elections. And right after that, you've got Ronald Reagan taking power, the end of communism, the breakdown of communism. You have the dot-com era here, and Bill Clinton, the scandals that revolve around him, and then 9/11, and then you're thrown into this thing of the enemy is really outside. It's not within. We've been looking within, but the enemy's outside. And then you've got a 10-year period of 9/11. And Obama coming in and promising, making promises that he can't keep. And so basically you get into this vicious circle and you realize at the end of it, who's being fooled? Who's being played the pawn? And these politicians talk a great game. They talk about bringing peace, but their only weapon to bring about peace is war. Their only weapon is through violence. Their only weapon is through the accumulation of wealth. And what do? They keep accumulating more and more. They play into the capitalistic dream. And I don't want to sound like a communist over here. You know, God bless America. We have a beautiful system over here. And if you look at the framers of the Constitution, I mean, it's just a beautiful document. I've shared this with you many times. You know, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. It is a beautiful, beautiful document because it talks about dreams. It talks about what can be. But what has become needs to concern us. And it needs to concern us as Christians, because a Christian cannot sit idly by. And it cannot get caught up in this kind of false morality. That's what we were talking about this past few weeks, and definitely last night in our questions of faith. You know, unfortunately, when we get into the situation of homosexual relations, of homosexual marriages, same-sex marriages, it always comes down to a small group of Christians here in the United States who define the path of Christianity for the rest of us. And I resent it. We should all resent it. Nobody can talk on behalf of Christ except Christ's body. And what is that body? It's the body that was put in place. And that body is not just a collection of books. It's not just the Bible, but it's the collection of people. We are people. We have a voice. And that voice has to strive for the same things that Jesus Christ strived for, namely peace, namely to find that peace, yes, and it is attainable when we are at peace with ourselves, at peace with our God, at peace with one another. We define our peace with God by being at peace, at loving one another. So the question comes up, well, why aren't we doing that? Why aren't we talking about peace? Why aren't we striving? Why aren't we working as a church? Why aren't we working for peace? Well, in many ways, we are, right? And this is the way we work for peace, by helping people, by putting our feet in the shoes of others. But at the same time, it also requires all of us to be on the same page. In other words, the peace that I want, it has to be the peace that you want and everybody wants. And I believe that there are very good-intentioned, well-intentioned people looking for peace. But the means by which they go about finding that peace are usually, well, counterproductive, right? You can't pick up a gun and say, I want peace. There was a great show many years ago called The Guns of Will Sonnet. If you've ever seen that, I was a big fan of that show. It only lasted a couple seasons. What was his name? Walter Brennan was the star of that. And him and his grandson would walk into every town. And he was the fastest gun in the West. And his first comments would be, you know, I'm searching for peace. I'm looking for peace, because he wanted to make amends with his son. I'm looking for peace. And by the end of the show, he'd already put down a few people. Just let's shoot him up. Yes, a rifleman kind of thing.
No brag.
Yes, the rifleman Respect. Was another one just like him. Yeah, let's go into town and we're looking for peace. And then at the end, you just shoot up people and everything. And I think we've been brought up this way, at least here in the West. I mean, that might is right. That, you know, you can't get along with people, then show them your muscle. Teddy Roosevelt, you know, speak softly, carry a big stick. And it works. It works. A big stick does work. We know that it does work. We know rifles work. We know that bombs work. But they don't work in bringing peace. And we need to be talking as Christians. It's important that we start talking that language of peace, talking the language that God asks us to talk in the things. And it's very simple in the little things that we do. Last night, we unveiled a website. I want to share it with you. It's inhisshoes.org/Yvette. Do check it out. It's a small little website. And I want to just show you the power that we do have at our hands. And it's available for everybody. And I'm not talking about the website. Yes, the website is available for everyone. I'm not talking about the website alone. I'm talking about the power that's available for everyone. It's available for you. It's available for us in all of our circumstances. And that power is a simple one. It's the power of God to be able to change, to be the ambassadors of love. And I'm not just talking out there. I'm going to give you an incredible example in just a moment. But think about it. Here is a power to take something as evil as rape, as murder, and really transform it so that you can bring about peace. You can find the love. And it does require work. It is not easy. It is transforming. It requires us to be consciously engaged. It means that you need to be awake to the faith that Christ has put into your heart. So, the story, 4 years ago, neighbor of the church, where I served and continue to serve right now at St. Peter in Glendale, the neighbor directly across the street was murdered during the day. And she was just a beautiful, beautiful lady. She'd come to church early in the mornings, light candle. And just cold-blooded murder. And her parents discovered her in the house. And never forget that day. The police had put up their barriers, their tape, and here I am, the priest, wanting to go and visit, wanting to go and help out the family, and I couldn't get in. Imagine that. This is the you know, sometimes you think that, oh, little towns like Glendale, oh, these are wonderful places, but, you know, I have better luck with working with Los Angeles than I do with Glendale. I mean, Glendale, it's like this backward mentality of like, hey, we'll show everybody that we're in charge, you know? They wouldn't let me get in. And later we found out that the family was trying to get to us at the church. And they couldn't go across the border. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? You talk about civil rights. Church, priest cannot deal with the family. That's another issue. That's another issue. It's called prejudice, reverse prejudice. We'll talk about that. I've talked about that in the past. But for right now, that day, here is this young girl, Yvette. She's been murdered in cold blood. And now you talk about recovery. You talk about restructuring, picking up the pieces. It's sometimes death in such fashion is so overwhelming to all of the senses, including the sense of reason and the sense of understanding, the sense of faith. It shatters a lot of things. Like, why? Why me? Why did this happen? You're trying to put together lives now. And of course, we had the funeral, and in the subsequent months had opportunities to visit with the family. But here's the power of God and coming through. And I got to share this with you because it's so overwhelming. And we saw it last night. Last night, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned it or not. Yesterday was the 4th anniversary of her passing. And we unveiled this website last night. So in subsequent months after her passing, the mother started coming by to the church. And one day I said, why don't you come to the office? Let's keep busy in the office. And I got to tell you, I didn't know what to give her. I didn't know what to do. She's, a woman from Tehran, Iran. She had worked here in America for several years, but skills, computer skills, none. So I said, hey, how about learning the computer? And I sat her down at a computer, taught her the Armenian keyboard. There you go, huh? There's a challenge. Okay, you see, you think you're big time, right? You're saying, oh, computer, that's easy. Okay, how about Armenian keyboard? Okay, so she learned the Armenian keyboard. And I gave her books. I gave her the writings of Hovhannes Tumanya and of Siamanto, and she started typing. And now it's been 3.5 years that she's been typing. She comes in 3 times a week, whenever she can, get the courage, comes in, she types. So, last night, we unveiled, on the 4th anniversary of young Yvette's passing, we unveiled a website, and it's dedicated to Yvette. And it's not only dedicated to her memory, it's dedicated to the love that she left behind. Because here's the power of love. It's that love which we don't know. See, when you're in it, you may not know how God's going to use you. You don't know how God's going to figure out how to put the pieces together. What you need to do is just allow him to do it. And I got to be honest with you, I had no idea what we were doing. She came in and I said, okay, you need to keep busy. Here's a computer. We're going to learn. And so she's typing. And through the years, through the last few years, there's been several times I'm thinking, okay, what are we doing with all this writing? Okay, it's been sitting on computer. I haven't had the time. I don't have time to breathe sometimes. I don't have time to go through this writing. So God gave me that time. And this last week, we put together this website. And now, so all of this writing, all of this documentation that she's been putting in is now available on the web. So children, students can download it. Armenian poems, Armenian writings. There is, in fact, a document there that chronicles the lives of all the Catholicoi of the Armenian Church from the time of Thaddeus, the first Catholicos, the first chief bishop, let's call him, of the Armenian Church, the apostle who came to Armenia, to Karakin the second, the current Catholicos, and their lives in Armenian language have been typed and they've been preserved and they're up on the web. And every time a child, every time a researcher, anybody needs this, they're going to connect in with Yvette, the young girl who passed away. And I wish you could have seen the faces of the parents when we unveiled the website. And they reminded me that it was exactly a year ago, and this is also on the website, you'll see, that another miracle happened. Yvette's 3rd anniversary of passing, we had gotten together for dinner. And again, we had collected a bunch of clothes to send to Armenia. We wanted to do, our good friend Gor Mkhitaryan had asked if we could put together a clothing drive to send to some families in Vanatsor. And we started collecting brand new clothes for children and sending it off to Vanatsor. So we had them actually packed. It was May of last year, and I had no idea where we were going to get the money to ship it. I'm just praying to God. This is a true story. I had no idea where we were going to get the money to ship this stuff. And we were at the same girl, Yvette's 3rd year of her passing, and we had blessed the grave, and we had assembled with a few family and friends for a memorial meal. And I had made the mention that, you know, look at all these flowers, you know, that we see at so many funerals. And just kind of like dropped the bug in their ear. And sure enough, the family said, you know, instead of donating flowers, they got up and asked anybody who would like to give flowers, instead of making a donation for those flowers, buying flowers, why don't you make a donation to the church for a specific need? And they actually turned to me, do you have a need? And I said, yes, I do. I need to get these clothes to Armenia. And sure enough, we needed, I believe it was $580 that we needed, and we collected $600 at that meal. So somebody got a small little tip along the way, a $20 tip that probably went to one of the drivers of the vans or something. But we put it together. And again, out of that tragedy, some goodness is coming. Now, this is not to say that, you know, that we're condoning any of the tragedies, but we need to start thinking of models of not an eye for an eye, but to turn the other cheek and to say that the higher power that God invites us to is the power that we need to. There are too many eye-to-eye deals in this world. We need to attain that higher level of understanding and realizing the power of love can overcome all of the powers of evil, can overcome the darkness in our lives, even the darkness of rape, of mayhem, of the darkness of war, can be overcome not by shooting another bullet, not by dropping another bomb on people, but by saying that there is an option, and that option is peace. I come in peace, not with a gun on my side, but I come in peace with the love of Christ in my heart. Can I change the world? I am restless. I want to change the world, and I'm going to use a weapon. The weapon of choice is not a gun. It's not something that's going to pierce somebody's body with a bullet. It's going to pierce their soul with the power of love. Okay, the harpist is telling me it's time for Ani's Bubbles. Here she is with today's installment, Spiritual Bubbles.
Weakness or strength? Today's spiritual bubble. Sometimes your biggest weakness can become your biggest strength. Take, for example, the story of one 10-year-old boy who decided to study judo despite the fact that he'd lost his left arm in a devastating car accident. The boy began lessons with an old Japanese judo master. The boy was doing well, so he couldn't understand why, after 3 months of training, the master had taught him only one move. "Sensei," the boy finally asked, "shouldn't I be learning more moves?" "This is the only move I know, but this is the only move that you will ever need to know," the sensei replied. Not quite understanding, but believing in his teacher, the boy kept training. Several months later, the sensei took the boy to his first tournament. Surprising himself, the boy easily won his first two matches. The third match proved to be a little more difficult, but after some time, his opponent became impatient and charged. The boy deftly used his only move to win the match. Still amazed by his success, the boy was now in the finals. This time, his opponent was bigger, stronger, and more experienced. For a while, the boy appeared to be overmatched. Concerned that the boy might get hurt, the referee called a timeout. He was about to stop the match when the sensei intervened. "No," the sensei insisted, "let him continue." Soon after the match resumed, his opponent made a critical mistake. He dropped his guard. Instantly, the boy used his move to pin him. The boy had won the match and the tournament. He was the champion. On the way home, the boy and the sensei reviewed every move in each and every match. Then the boy summoned the courage to ask what was really on his mind. "Sensei, how did I win the tournament with only one move?" The sensei answered, "You won for two reasons. First, you've almost mastered one of the most difficult throws in all of judo. And second, the only known defense for that move is for your opponent to grab your left arm." The boy's biggest weakness had finally become his biggest strength. This has been your spiritual bubble. May it float on the wind to heaven.
Ani, you're getting very Hitchcockian in your approach to these bubbles. I like this ending. Very good. It was completely unexpected, at least for me. I wasn't waiting for that ending. Anyway, thank you very much. Ani does these spiritual bubbles for us, kind of gets our mind wondering about different things. Yeah, sometimes unexpected, and just love them. Thank you very much. And here is Susie to tell you, well, how you can continue getting these quality broadcasts, because we're going to bring them to you one way or another, but you can get involved in bringing these quality broadcasts too, into your living rooms, into your computers, into your iPods, into your car. Here's Susie.
Before getting back to the Next Step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced The Next Step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to The Next Step with Father Vazquez.
Thank you, Susie, for the reminder. Yes, we need to be reminded, don't we? We listen to these podcasts. We like what we hear. We say, yeah, keep it up the good work. Well, the work continues with all of us participating, being a partner in the ministry, and we invite you to get involved. Let me tell you a very unique way that you can get involved. It's a fun way, actually. It's having dinner with us. Okay, would you like to have dinner with us? But yeah, you're saying, well, I don't even live in the same country as you. You know, stranger things have happened. You know, I mean, we're living in a world right now, as Dr. King used to say in many of his speeches. He says it's very possible to wake up in San Francisco, have dinner in Tokyo, and return back the day earlier or something like that, some phenomenal thing like that. But you can do it. Yes, I mean, wouldn't that be great, huh? You wake up like in Egypt, and then you take a trip, you come to New York, look around a little bit, come and have dinner with us in Los Angeles, and then head back to Egypt via Australia. Hey, did I make the plans for you or what? Do you want me to be your travel agent? I could do that too. But for right now, what I need you to do is, well, make a bid. We are auctioning off a dinner with the Apostle crew. Yes, all of us. I'm talking about Susie, talking about Ani, talking about Linda, talking about Vahe, and we have it on good authority that even Ken might come back for a dinner. And of course, I'll be there too. We're going to have dinner and a recording, either of The Next Step or Compass, depending on the person's choice, whatever they would like, and you get to be on the show, and we'll have dinner together. We'll even use our cloth napkins. Huh? How's that? Well, to bid on this, we're going to have a silent auction on June 10th, and that's taking place at the home of David and Margaret McGrubley, and wonderful people who have been very supportive of our ministry for many years, and they're opening up their beautiful, beautiful home up in the Pasadena Hills, Pasadena, California. If nothing else, you've seen the rose parades, and just all year long, it's just a beautiful, beautiful rose city, the city of the roses. Well, come down, spend an afternoon, and there's going to be over 80 items that you can bid on. But one of the items is this Apostle dinner with the Apostle crew. And if you can't get out there on June 10th, you can bid on it by email. Drop us a line at feedback@apostle.net. In the subject line, just put dinner bid. And make a bid, whatever you'd like to. Start it off at whatever, you know, yeah, nothing's out of the range. You don't even want to start off at 100,000, at a half a million, sure, that's fine. No. Have I just excluded some people? I don't want to say all people. You can tell I'm wishful today. Today I woke up with some promise. Anyway, start off at anything you want. There is no bid that is too low. Put in a bid and come on down, okay? This is going to be a wonderful opportunity to raise some needed funds for the entire ministry. It's not just about Apostle. It's raising money for In His Shoes, for all the outreach that we do, for our Skid Row programs, for our programs that deliver food and material to the needy, to the homeless, to Armenia, to the camps in Darfur, in Chad, a lot of projects that we have throughout the year. And this is a way of, well, bringing your participation. You can make a donation, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to come down and be a part of this silent auction. It takes place June 10th. We'll put a link on our show notes to the advertising about it. But if you'd like to specifically bid on this item, on this auction item, do drop us a line and we'll even see if you're really interested in it. We'll see that if we can have a telephone set up with you so that You know, as the afternoon is going along and you feel like upping the bid, well, that could be your prerogative, okay? But if you're in the Los Angeles area or you want to get out to Los Angeles area, do be with us, okay? June 10th. There'll be a link on our show notes today with more information. Some parting shots before we close up for today. I wanted to share with you what's going on here, again, political in nature, but I think that it's important that we bring a spiritual dimension to it, and that is what's going on in the world of politics here in the United States as far as the presidential election. You've got a situation where you've got a Mormon that is going to be, actually just this morning, they announced that he has enough delegates, and I believe yesterday the president, Obama had called them and they made a telephone call and shared, you know, with each other, let's be civil and let's do this properly and good luck. May the best man win. I guess that's what you talk. I don't know. I've never been on the receiving or giving end of one of those conversations, but you can imagine what the conversation was. Yes, President Obama called up Mitt Romney and said, okay, we're ready to go. And, you know, congratulations, you've got enough delegates. And technically, he's got to wait it out until August to officially be the Republican nominee, but the indications being that at the August convention he will have the delegates. You could say, okay, he's the one running. And now here's the interesting thing. He is Mormon. His background is, his religion is Mormon. And this was, you know, obviously anybody, you could be whatever you want. I mean, we talked about Nixon a few minutes ago. He was the Quaker. He was a Quaker. There you go. There's something different, right? These guys are definitely, these are the people that strive for peace. And yet we saw Vietnam escalate during the Nixon presidency. Yeah, John Kennedy was different from the white Anglo-Saxon Protestant model, the WASP, right? John Kennedy was a Catholic, and this became a very big issue. Are you going to get your directives from Rome, or will you adhere to the Constitution of the United States? And now we've got the situation where you've got a Mormon. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because he is the candidate of the Republican Party, and the Republican Party has, as one of its bases, has the evangelical Christians. Now, the Christians are faced now with this awkward situation. They've got a Mormon who they don't accept as a Christian. Obviously, Mormons are not Christians, right? So the evangelical Christian base doesn't accept him, but they're now being tested because he, in principle, embodies all of the principles and all of the things that they believe in, that they adhere to, namely that he is the conservative, he is the Republican nominee. Very interesting. It's going to be an interesting election. And on the other side, you've got Obama, who is the liberal candidate, who is the Democratic candidate, and he's got to deal with a record that has left a lot of people disappointed and wanting more. Yeah. I know a lot of people, especially, well, look at it in the Armenian sense. Okay, forget, look at the Armenian lobby who was hoping that Obama was going to be this president who was going to use the word genocide. You know how I feel about that. I mean, you know, like I don't need anybody to tell me it's a genocide, but, you know, there is some merit that they're putting this all together and saying, okay, we want the president to say that. And he didn't, even though he promised. And that's just a small promise. Think about the big promises that he's broken. And so it's going to be a wild ride in the next few months. And I'm throwing these out because certainly these topics will dominate the headlines. People will stop looking at some of the severe situations that are taking place in the world. They'll continue to ignore Iraq and the war that's going there on there. They'll continue ignoring Afghanistan unless some major thing happens. And they'll be consuming their times with, you know, these background checks on people. I heard the other day they're still background checking Obama. Was he born in the United States? Was he really born in Hawaii or could have been in Kenya? And did you hear that little snafu that was made on the Mitt Romney camp, right? What was it? It's change is good for Mercia, is it? Yes. I don't know if you heard about that or not. It was basically a small little app that was made for the telephone, for the iPhone, and you could take a picture of a piece of America, and then they would overlay a writing that says change is good or something like that for America, and they had misspelled. They didn't run the spell checker, and it's Mercia. And the internet being what it is, and people's ability to capture screens and ship them off and send them off, it's done. It's a done deal. There you go. You got problems now. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be a campaign like we have not seen before. It'll be interesting how it all evolves. I'd love to hear your take on it. Hey, do get involved. Drop me a line. I'd be happy to read your comments. If you want, you know, say your comments. Call our phone line. It's 626 in the United States, area code 275-AMEN. Yeah, you dial out those numbers. You punch in those letters. AMEN 275 AMEN. Just leave us a message. It'll be easy. It comes into us as a MP3 file, and we'll put it up right on next week's Next Step. Hey, I want to thank you for joining us today. Different sorts. You know, as we're getting closer to our anniversary date, it's either next week or the week after. I forgot which one, but we're going to be completing our fourth year of broadcasting, beginning our fifth. It's an opportunity for us to reflect, an opportunity for us to thank God for this beautiful opportunity that technology gives us. Thank God for the beautiful opportunity of having people such as you, our listeners, who react, who listen, who take in, and most of all, implement the message that Christ gives us. I want to thank you for joining us today on behalf of our crew. But first of all, let me invite you to get involved with us at epostle.net. You'll find today's podcast as well as all the podcasts that we put up. Also at the mothership inhisshoes.org. And finally, join us if you can, June 10th at the Silent Auction. So for Susie, our producer, for our web developer, Vahe, and for Ani with her bubbles, this is Father Vosken inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
We trust you've enjoyed this broadcast. This episode of The Next Step, as well as all previous episodes, are available for downloading at epostle.net or at Apple's iTunes Store. To write to us with comments or questions, please direct your message to feedback@epostle.net. Your kind prayers and donations ensure the continuity of these quality broadcasts. For the production crew and all the members of the In His Shoes Ministries, this is Susie, looking forward to taking the next step with you again next week. And now here's the fine print.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.